It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Yes, 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 yes. Welcome in. It's the Tim McKernan Show from the Longo Big Studios. My name is Timothy Michael McKernan alongside Jackson Burkett. And Jackson, are you ready for a Jim Dandy of a Tim McKernan Show podcast here on March 5th, 2024?
I am.
Really?
Yeah, I'm excited.
What do you got? What do you got? Let's get something off your chest today.
Oh, I don't know if I have anything to unload, really. All's good. Life's good. Happy. Turn 26 next week.
I know. What are you going to do? What's the plan on that?
Oh, it's nothing crazy. I mean, anything after your 21st and then in between 21st and 30th are kind of like, it's just another year, another lap around the sun. So nothing really major. No, just enjoy myself.
You know what?
Yeah.
Just hit me. Because, I experienced this when doing sound stories, and I don't know what age this starts to happen. Who did I hear? Is it doing an interview? Either way. Or maybe I read somebody saying something. You know, I'm 59 now, and we have grandkids, and, you know, hopefully get another couple decades out of life, that you actually start thinking, like my dad, for example, is very open about death.
Yeah.
That is obviously, well, I say obviously, maybe people haven't heard me discuss it. I talk about it. But I also recognize, I don't like to categorize and say things are binary, but you're either comfortable talking about or not comfortable. The reason I bring it up is at 25, you just view it as like, yeah, because still, even though it's your core, especially somebody who is as aware as you are, aware of finality, it's just not even there. But at some point, you start to like do math.
Yeah, chalk it up.
Yeah, and so you go, okay, well, if I'm 75 and then the plan is to do this, but it's not until 2030. You know what I mean?
Right. I guess you could say, and this is the eternal optimist in me, is the ace in the hole is always they come up with some technology that prolongs life even longer than you could imagine.
Yeah, I suppose you probably can, and you may be able to think that way at 26, but if you are in your 70s right now, you're probably not thinking that way.
No.
You see what I'm saying?
No.
So you start to, I don't know. Like, we're fresh off an interview today with Brianna Coppedge.
We are.
And Brianna Coppedge being the teacher from the Missouri area who did an OnlyFans and then lost her job and became a millionaire. But I was under the impression that she was just going to pursue adult work full time and, you know, maximize the situation since she was already outed. And that is clearly not it, but yet she still wants to have a job. And then when she said she needed a job, I was like, oh, maybe we miscalculated the financials. But no, she's now a millionaire. Just because you're a millionaire doesn't mean you need to work. I don't know how many millions she has. But she just wanted to have work for purpose. And so that's one of the things that oftentimes, for example, Doug, I'm turning to Doug even though he's not here.
Hey, Doug.
We've talked about, you know, how long he wants to keep doing TMA, and he's like, oh, I don't want to just be sitting around, you know, that you want to have something to do. My dad loves making sales calls, likes to have something to do. So I think maybe you think, not you, the royal you?
Yeah.
that you just want to be able to have nothing on the schedule. And maybe you will enjoy that for a month or two, but then when you get there, you go, oh, I got to have something. I got
to
be
something to get you out of
purposeful.
Bed in the morning.
Right. Yeah. Purposeful. Yeah. And so it's, I think children, having children was the first time I felt like, oh, you know, let me do some math. You know, otherwise I just didn't think that way. I remember turning 40 and going, God, I'm in fine shape. I don't feel like I look older, especially when I compare myself to like guys I went to school with. But then it wasn't apples to apples because a lot of the stress that may have occurred on their bodies, well, if you're raising two or three kids, that's a different game, you know? So totally. I didn't have that. I didn't have children until I guess I was 40. But when I turned 40, I didn't. And so the math of time and finality, and I recall, I mean, I didn't even think about it when I turned 40, but it's one of those things that you start to think about, and I'm curious around what age that starts to happen, where you start going, okay, I got to start doing some math here, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, you have to think about it in that way once you reach a certain age. But you're right, like someone at my age right now, you know, death, it comes to us all. It'll be there one day for me. But like, because it's so final, like it's so final, there's a difference, I think, between being aware of it and acknowledging it and then harping on it. Because I feel like some people might fall into the trap of harping on it.
Really?
And worry.
You hear people harping on dying?
Well, I think at a certain age, yeah.
Really?
I think people might.
Yeah, I guess probably you're probably not crossing paths with them right now. You're not hanging out. And
no, but I'm
playing bridge.
I love bridge.
Do you really? I would have folded on that. You bet that nicely.
When I worked at the country club in Columbia, there was bridge day for all the ladies, and it was the best.
Was it a pony?
It was the best day to work. They all ordered the same thing. Like one of them would have a drink, and they'd all giggle, and it was the easiest money you could ever make, and it was done in like 3 hours.
Best. Bridge day.
Shout out to all my people who are playing bridge right now.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners are.
But I'm sure there's people who harp on or overthink what is going to happen. Because ultimately, nobody knows. And anyone who tells you that they know is either presenting a theory or hopeful thinking.
Talking about what happens after we die.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So I think because it's so final and so definitive, people are like, it's like life's greatest mystery, but it's the mystery you can only solve by doing it. You know, you can only solve it. So I think spending too much time on it is a very real thing.
What do you think happens?
Probably exactly what it was like before you were born.
Oh, so you're on the Sopranos chain.
If I had to, like, if they're like, hey, put a bet down, then yeah. The hopeful thought of me is maybe like the DMT release in your brain that happens.
DMT.
That's the chemical release of kind of like the dreamlike state.
Okay.
Like when they say like your life flashes before your eyes, I think that's the DMT chemical release. If I'm wrong on any of this, feel free to correct me out there in the YouTube chat.
Or email T. McKernan at InsideSTL. Wow, active YouTube chat.
And they say that like that release, that chemical release in your brain can take a really long time. And in your mind, it can feel like almost eternity of you in this dreamlike state. And so maybe that's the case. That's the hopefulness. Maybe there is a heaven. Maybe people are telling the truth on that. But I likely think it's exactly what it was like before we were born, which is nothing.
Yeah, that's where I am. It would be wonderful to truly, 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 I want to emphasize truly, truly believe, and I want to emphasize believe, not hope, believe that that is what happens. And certain that there are some people, perhaps not as many who represent, that believe that. But what a wonderful way to go through life.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I have a Jewish faith, and I have a
What is the Jewish faith afterlife perspective?
I believe it's a heaven situation.
Didn't come up in South St. Louis all that often.
I don't know. I don't think that there is a hell. I think that is. I don't think that is ever discussed. Maybe I'm wrong again. And I have a positive relationship with the religion I was raised in. I enjoy it. I enjoy a lot of the values of it. I enjoy the community around it. But I don't know. Like, I was happy to be raised in what we call Reform Judaism, where you kind of pick and choose the teachings and the beliefs you want to have.
Yeah.
Much more so, and you modernize it a little bit more. But because, like I said, life's greatest mystery, and because no one has answers, I just have, like, my, the logic in my mind is, like, it's probably just what it was like before you were born.
If there is humanity around in, let's see, so if we're comparing, this would be 1824. So, I don't know, maybe if we can go to 2524, the things that they will know in 2524, that they will look back on that which we think we know with confidence and scoff at those who were around 500 years ago, will make us feel like the dumbs.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, I guess
that's just the way that it works. Just like people in 3024 will look at the people in 2524 and go, can you believe they thought that? You know, take your pick of the sun revolves around the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the earth is flat. I realize you got to go back a little ways on that, although maybe you could just go to certain Twitter accounts and find it now. But those kinds of things.
Yeah, discovering gravity, you know.
Yeah.
All these things. I would generally be surprised if the earth is around in 1,000 years, but you never know.
The Tim, BK, and Ferrari, BK and Ferrario, had your voice as the lead into their little jack wagon of a radio show, #bless. It's from the Veiled Prophet. I didn't hear it. I'm sorry. I was in here QFTAing it, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what am I doing. I'm happy to do voiceover work.
I have no idea. I have no idea what the little message is about.
We got done with the sound story yesterday. I don't think you were in the studio for this. And the lady I was interviewing, who was wonderful. I feel like every time I talk about the sound story, I say the same thing, but it's not. I mean, I know the audience has no idea who I interviewed, but she was wonderful. God, was she wonderful. Just an absolute, born in 37. Mm. So what would that make her, Jackson? 87?
Bad. I'm bad at that kind of
87, I'm virtually certain. Yeah. Am I right? I don't know. Well, either way, you figure it out. Point being, God, is that right? Fuck it. Let's do this. 63 and 24. 87. Holy shit, man. She was in great shape for 87. Fuck. That's right, right? 87?
Bust out the calculator.
Well, my dad was born in 47, so then I'm like, oh, my dad's going to be 77 this year. And for whatever reason, I thought he was younger than that. But I guess so. That's why. That's why. That's why. That's
87.
Why. Thank you. This is an educated program.
Well, you got to. Well, we don't know when her birthday is, also.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be journalists. 87. And she was so wonderful. And then we got done. She goes, I love your voice. And it was so sincere. Like, if like that were said between 7 and 10, it would be like Doug would bang the gong and we would laugh. And so, but she was, oh my God. And I go, I got to tell you, when you started talking, I thought maybe you did some voiceover work. So it was like this mutual admiration society thing. Mm-hmm. But I thought to myself, you have a wonderful voice. You have a wonderful voice. This 87-year-old lady, and 87 having a wonderful voice, and also, my God, now that I'm thinking about it, it didn't even cross my mind. I don't sit and do the math on how old people are unless they bring it up, and sometimes they do. But in the course of the conversation, she was talking about, you know, I don't know if you would call them spiritual. What do you associate when you hear the word spiritual?
Oh.
I think some people like think like crystals and
no.
Like you're rolling balls at EDM and it's no. Just an excuse to like fuck 7 people at an event.
When I hear someone is spiritual, I think that they, and that was good.
I'm very talented.
Embrace life's questions that don't have concrete answers, such as things like karma. There's no tangible measure of karma. There's no tangible measure of luck or just general spirit. However, they embrace it, talk about it, maybe engage in some sort of practice or tradition in order to further embrace it, like meditation. So that's what I think of when I think of someone who is spirit. They believe in the gray areas of life.
Like what I feel like has become kind of in vogue on this topic over the last 5 years, but maybe it's been around longer. I just feel like it's gotten to me within the last 5 years is now people, they don't want to acknowledge having any religion, but like any organized religion. They say, well, I'm spiritual. This is like a Hollywood or entertainment industry kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like you wouldn't hear like a member of the Cardinals say they're spiritual. We already know what most likely they're going to say. But I'm saying, you know, I believe that there's energy.
Yeah.
And that's become the new thing. I don't think 20 years ago people were talking about energy.
No, I think in that context in particular, because I think it's a societal thing because
I agree with you.
I think people hear, well, I'm not religious, and they're like, well, you must be some sort of heathen or you're some sort of degenerate. But when you say you're spiritual, it's like, well, I still believe, like I have a moral compass that just doesn't come from religion. So I feel like
that sums me up.
Yeah. So I think it's less so like an actual thing in that context and more so like a way to, I guess, dodge a knee-jerk reaction to hearing someone's not religious. But I think that'll change.
Something's going on in this YouTube chat, Jackson. I just took a gander. And Don Pepe, and did he win the Milagro Tequila Listener of the Month in January of 2024?
He did, yeah.
He said, wow, first time I had to block someone in TMA.
What's the context there? I'm trying to...
I don't know what's going on.
Read.
All I saw was the BK and Ferrario had your voice as the lead into their little show. Hashtag bless, thank you. It was about the bow tie interview in that segment in TMA. I got talking about Mazalek saying it's encouraging. Yeah, I don't know what they have to say about it. I mean, I if they share my opinion, great. If they disagree, that's cool. I like those guys, I don't get worked up if people disagree with my opinions, although I know sometimes it's a very brave thing for people to do on social media. Don Pepe then says, it takes about 6 months of no purpose to start to lose it. I can attest, Ben the Butcher, they haven't had no purpose for that long. They were in L.A. like 3 months ago. Doesn't pass the smell test. Not going to argue on YouTube with you.
Oh.
So what, that's the argument on Brianna?
Oh. I hope that didn't cause a blocking.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it should.
Also, blocking on the YouTube chat is, seems pretty futile.
Does that go on, or can you do it?
I think, me, who's running this live stream, could block them from the channel, but I don't think individuals can block
each other.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. Yeah.
I don't know.
So I don't know if that's what Don Pepe's talking about. Either way, if you asked me if whether or not I thought Brianna Coppedge has made $1 million, I wish I could bet.
Yeah. The math is kind of out there.
Well, there's that, and then I got an anecdote that would be off air, and I know that this is going into the I know something you don't know category, but Ben the Butcher, Brianna Coppedge made, I think, and I'm not trying to dismiss $1 million, but I think well more than $1 million.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else to say outside of it, and it's not like I'm like handling.
The formula was there.
Either way, neither here nor there. Neither here nor there. But I was surprised by that. Again, I go back to if you've been outed, I'm not in that position, but if you've been outed and you're going, okay, well, shit, I've already shot all this stuff. I continue to shoot all this stuff. Then why not go? Okay. I look at this career now, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm just like, it has a relatively speaking, usually a shelf life, It's longer than being a professional athlete. It's certainly not as lucrative as being a professional athlete at most sports, but, I just view it that way and I have no animosity toward it. Appearance can be a factor, certainly in where I was coming from in television.
Yeah,
that's part of the, you can't be mad about it, especially if you were hired coming in your 20s because of your appearance and then you're mad in your 40s that you lose your job. I mean, to me that strikes me as rather hypocritical. But with regard to the adult world, that can be an even more microscopic shelf life. And so from my standpoint, I'm just like, okay, if you're already out, then you're kind of, so maximize it. So I just didn't really understand that. But at the same time, I'm not living their life, so I'm not passing judgment. I just thought that they were going to maximize it, not because they needed money, because it's like, fuck it, we'll do this for another couple of years, make another whatever it is, $2 million to $5 million, I would think would be the range on OnlyFans, but I really don't know what that OnlyFans situation is. And then go, okay, and then...
Yeah.
Do whatever, especially when she talked about having seasonal anxiety depression. Is that what it stands for?
Yeah. Yep. SADS. Yeah.
SADS. The whole thing that is such a tough thing when you're having that conversation is there are children involved. Obviously, she's not talking about children, but when I asked her the first time she was on the show, she does have kids. So it's not like, okay, you can just pick up and move to Southern California or South Florida or Arizona if you don't want to move your kids. So that's
totally.
That's the factor. So then she's just like, I just need something to do. And then I go, well, we're not starting a business, but if they're in a small town in Missouri, then it's like, oh, that's what the porn girl started up.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and to me, like what I took from the discussion with Brianna, and I wouldn't say it takes a keen observer to absorb this, but like, it seems like to me that she would love to have a pretty normal yes. day job and use the OnlyFans thing as a side hustle, a very lucrative side hustle.
I think that's a great read, Jackson Burkett.
Yeah, very lucrative side hustle, don't get me wrong. I just think in America in 2024, whether it's right or wrong, I'm not going to litigate. I think people who've listened to this know I think it's wrong, but I just don't know if that's going to be a reality to hold a, and normal is a wrong word to use this, but a pretty standard 9-to-5 job, certainly, especially people facing in the Midwest, but more so America, in 2024, and do an OnlyFans as a side hustle with your real name attached to it. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if that exists. I would like for it to exist. I think that's a much more sexually progressive way to live life, is like people have sex, some people do it on camera, and plenty of people watch it, clearly. So let's just embrace it and let people be people. However was literally how I was going to end it, which is always it's always good to end
absolutely.
A thought with
nothing
however.
Nothing drives your point home more than
however.
Than a is that a dangling participle? I don't think it is.
Is it a hanging like Chad?
I think it's a hanging Chad. Catherine Harris, 2000. Big. I guess I kind of got into that a little bit with Andy Krupin today. I'd be curious what the origin is of sexual shaming and sexual self-shame. It's a very odd thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I am telling you, and I am telling you, because this is past tense in public, but the fact that I am viewed how I am viewed by a pretty, I think, decent portion of those who are aware of me in St. Louis. That doesn't mean all 3 million people, but however many are aware of me as like controversial, you know,
right.
is
against
rooted,
the grain.
Yeah, is rooted solely in the fact that I talk about sex. Because there's 25 years now. I mean, we're not talking about like, yeah, he's been around for a couple weeks. 25 years. There's no arrests. There's no bullshit at any place. I have never been, it's like a no-hitter, but you can fire me. I'll just do this somewhere else. Doesn't really matter, but I haven't been fired. Been fired from Westboro for playing golf while I was working in the bag room in 1994. That would be with cause, I would say.
Getting
Plus, they
working.
Gave me a warning, and then I went back out there and did it. Point being, it's solely rooted in that I talk about sex. If we take a step back, isn't that fucked up?
Right.
Like, I mean, I don't think too many people would say I'm mean, but I talk about sex. But then you can have mean people or people who actually do have issues with the law, and they're welcome in polite society, but I talk about sex, and therefore I'm not. Now, I got to tell you, it's great because I don't want to be with those people anyway. And as I always say, I don't want to MC your banquet. So I didn't know this, but if you're like somebody kind of getting into this thing and you never want to be asked to do that shit, just occasionally bring up your goal of having a threesome and you'll be like, oh, we can't have him. And it like keeps you out of the awkward thing of, oh, we'd like you to MC this. And you're like, oh, fuck, I'm not interested in doing it. I'd like to spend time with my family or just relaxing on my own.
Yeah.
But that's it. Because if you look at it, usually you would go, okay, somebody who built something from nothing and has been doing it for 20 years, especially in this market where people admire longevity and the past. My God, St. Louis holds up the past better than anybody. It would be celebrated. But because I talk about sex, I'm persona non grata in some portions of hashtag polite society, which wasn't a plan, but I'm also not going to go, well, I'm not going to talk about this. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's like not being able to use profanity. On this, I can talk and say whatever word I want. I recognize I can't on 101 or on TMA, and so I don't because I understand the rules. But this is a rule that just doesn't make any sense to me. And it's not a hard and fast rule. It's just something that I've experienced you like to talk to porn stars in studio. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if we've had a porn star in studio since we've been at Hubbard. You know what I mean?
Depends what you call Erica Swings, but...
Okay. Yeah, I guess. I mean, if you really wanted to stretch the definition for the either way, okay, we've done how many shows here?
Hundreds.
Yeah. It's just not, but that's the thing that's associated with me.
Right.
I don't give a shit. If anything, like I said, it's great because it hasn't kept me from any dollars.
Right. That's
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But But when you take a step back and you analyze it, and I know that that's there, it's pretty funny to me because it's like I'm going about my life as a, you know, with the same woman since 2008 and a father. Oh, but he's controversial. Oh, what does he do? Well, he talks about sex. What the fuck? You know, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
But whatever. Again, it's kind of a great thing because it keeps me away from people I wouldn't want to hang out with anyway. But it, when I take a step back and I think about it, now hearing Brianna's thing, I'm like, okay, I kind of see it. And then when Andy Crouppen started talking about that this morning, I'm like, I wonder what the root of that is, because it's kind of accepted in the United States that these people, and then like the repressed will come out and go, well, look how many OD and how many are involved. Well, that's because they deal with psychological damage from not being welcomed back into society that they tailspin.
Yeah.
If you listened to TMA this morning, you heard that interview. That was a lady who is not doing well.
Yeah.
Because she once again is going through this, you know, and then people say, well, then they shouldn't get into it in the first place. And then I go, well, why? You know?
Yeah.
I would tell you getting into this industry is actually more dangerous than that one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's like, you know, looking at the whole scope of it, it's not like there's been progression either. I mean, we're going backwards in terms of reproductive rights for women, and it's the stigma on sex workers is as strong as ever, whether OnlyFans is still there or not. You know, you be the boss of a company and tell me how many OnlyFans stars you're hiring, because it's not like we've taken steps forward in it. And acknowledging that it is a stigma and that it probably isn't right is one thing, but putting it into practice is a whole other thing. And we have not, as a country, as a society, as a culture, taken any steps in the right direction that matter, in my opinion.
So I wonder, I'm just like, if you were to strip it down, I wonder how it started. Because I think it's kind of like, you know, I recognize there are plenty of places, plenty of shows probably in St. Louis, and that's fine. God bless. To each their own. It's, you know, it truly is a live and let live approach. And I'm not going, they shouldn't be able to say that. Say whatever you want. Believe whatever you want. God bless. Because again, your beliefs, as long as it doesn't impact my ability to live how I live and earn a living, then God bless. You know, again, to each their own. Who's to say I'm right? But what my question is I wonder why this is the way that it is, because I think people, no matter what perspective they have on it, will acknowledge that it essentially is a scarlet letter in 2024, but I want to strip down to why it is, and I think it goes well back. It probably goes back to B.C.
Yeah.
The Ten Commandments, I mean, you shall not covet your neighbor's
yeah.
wife.
So, like a fear of
it's like
genitals.
A property. Yes.
Yeah.
But I wonder where this all, I just, I'd really like to... I'm sure there's plenty of books on it, so maybe I'll deep dive, because we're still dealing with it in 2024.
Yeah.
And indirectly, even though I'm not participating in it, I talk about it, and it's enough for me to be viewed as, quote unquote, controversial. And, you know, it's I'm aware of it. I'm not angry about it. I get it. Like I said, I actually think the benefits of it is that keeps me away from ever having to be with people I really don't want to hang out with. And I know they don't want to hang out with me either. But then I'm not in a spot where I'm like, oh, shit, I got to be on my best behavior because I got to get approved by people whose approval I don't want anyway. I don't want to hang out with them, and they probably don't want to hang out with me. It's not my scene. And God bless. I don't need to be a part of that, and they don't need me to be a part of it. But it certainly wasn't a plan. But in Brianna's case, it actually is taking away her job. And by the way, I understand with regard to the OnlyFans thing and being a teacher. I think it's a very valid conversation. But now the OnlyFans and not being a teacher, now it's just like it's going to follow her around. And that is a different conversation. But the conversation I'm actually, and this will be my own form of research, is why this is the way this is. You know, and some would say, well, it's an American puritanical thing and it comes from the pilgrims and the way that I understand that, and maybe there's some truth to that, but it's not like the rest of the world has, you know, what would be more in line with my perspective on sexuality. My goodness, you know.
Might be a handful of countries.
This is a global thing, where there are certainly, as you made reference to, a handful of countries that are way more progressive with it, but then some that would certainly be thousands of years.
Yeah, way off.
Behind.
Yeah, no doubt.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Jessica and Joe, how about this? A double shoot account. You talking in public or without consent? Two consenting adults wanting to do what they want shouldn't bother anyone. It's from Jessica and Joe. I share your opinion, Jessica and Joe, or Jessica or Joe. Obviously, that is not the way that the world really, really, really works. I mean, here again, I'm telling you, and, unless you just are listening to my podcast and you just think I'm lying, it has impacted not necessarily at all my ability to earn a living. And maybe it's actually made me earn a better living. I don't know. I have no idea. But it has kept me from being invited to MC things. But again, great, because I don't want to. But I just know that it is a real thing and a real part of the world. And that's from somebody who's not doing it. So that's just somebody who's talking about it.
Yeah.
So you can have your perspective on a performer. It still would lead us back to what I want to discuss, which is why is somebody who is a sex worker persona non grata? But what about even somebody who's talking about the sex work industry and sexuality? Why is that person on the outside looking in?
Yeah.
Now, I am personally happy to be on the outside looking in because I don't want to be on the inside. But what if somebody did want to be on the inside and then they'd be like, well, you just can't talk about it. And then that fucked up.
Yeah.
Totally. Okay, you do agree? I mean, I don't want you to disagree with me.
No, I do. I think it's a total double standard. I think it's, you know.
But I don't know if there's a double standard.
Well, I think Andy Crouppen made a great point today where he's like, people consume the porn and you're good.
Okay,
you're
all right.
Fine.
Yeah.
But the person doing the act and doing the performance is ostracized. Like that there's a disconnect there. And that's kind of where I'm at.
Let's see. I understand how with being a teacher, it can become a distraction, but still goes back to one of the do-gooders finding the content to begin with. I agree on that. That's from Jessica and Joe. Jessica and Joe, new account, very active in
like
the
Jessica
YouTube chat. Thank you to our sponsors for making this podcast possible. That's James Carlton of the Carlton State Farm Insurance Agency, online at carltoninsurance.net. That's Seth Goldkamp at Design Air Heating and Cooling, online at designairservice.com. That's Jamie Burkhardt and Clayton Patterson at Munganess St. Louis Acura and Munganess Burkhardt Alton Toyota. That's Mark Hanna of Evergreen Wealth Strategies, online at evergreenstl.com. And, of course, Longo Biggs, online at longobiggs.com. Let's see. Burke, known for his great takes on all things sex, if only his lips weren't so thin. Don't you know this guy, Noah W.K.? I feel like that one popped up.
I do. Good guy. Good guy.
And he goes by oatmeal.
No, that's not oatmeal. But both great guys.
I've got a lot of emails. All right, I'm going to go to one. Yeah, I'm going to go to one, and then I'm going to go.
All right.
I got things I need to do. But I don't know how many QFTAs we'll do this week. What in the world? What happened to my QFTA file? What, Jackson? Oh, I'm in my old Hotmail account.
Oh, yes.
And I'm like, these are QFTAs from 2018. Somebody delete QFTA file? All right, Jackson. Any topic you want to talk about? Because let me tell you something. We've got it all.
If you have something that have tabbed, I want you to, because we're only going to do one. I want you to.
Oh, yeah. Let's see.
If you just need a drive-by take real quick, Rewatched Glengarry Glen Ross recently.
Oh, look, it's a drive-by take.
Oh, just an outstanding. Like, I really encourage folks.
I feel like
to go
I should go back and do that.
Oh, it's so good. Especially, I guess Alan Arkin's been dead now a little less than a year, but if nothing else, to celebrate the life of Alan Arkin. Oh, just outstanding acting, great writing. Really good movie.
How about this one? I'm back in mid-February. I got to catch up. Hey, Tim. In the February 21st episode of QFTA, you talked toward the end about cussing. So this kind of ties in. I didn't want to totally change subjects and go on a different tangent. In front of your kid. And just in general, how dumb it is for these certain words to be seen as offensive to some. I feel the same way, but I did recently listen to a podcast that gave me a slightly different perspective and made me pause. I'm curious what you may think. And then he has quoted in bold, italicized some paragraphs here. So here is what he is presenting. On the one hand, not swearing in public at bottom is a completely arbitrary thing to just impose upon people from the outside. Oh, you got your list of forbidden words I'm not supposed to say. What do they make the old people uncomfortable? Tell grandma to go eat her lemon drops, do her crossword puzzle, and let the adults talk the way we're going to talk. I'm just going to grovel at your feet because you have certain sounds your parents told you were bad, and it makes you feel uncomfortable. That's nonsense. But on the other hand, Byung Chul Han?
Yeah, we'll roll with that.
Are you familiar with this gentleman?
No.
What about Byung Hyun Kim? Had a tough 2001 World Series.
Oh, yeah, well, Diamondbacks.
Right. Arbitrary as it may seem, not using swear words in public is actually a token of respect to a collective social agreement we have that binds us all together in some way. I mean, what are we really doing when we have an unwritten agreement that we're not going to do something? Anything, in part, what we're saying is, look, we're all out here, okay? We're all still alive. We're all waking up every day, taking a shower and going to work to try to make this whole thing operate. This whole thing, by the way, that we all recognize when it comes down to it, is a pretty fragile experiment we're running on a razor's edge that in many ways relies on the cooperation of everyone continuing to play along. Not using swear words in public in some societies, this is an example of one small thing we all do. It's part of the glue that holds society together. In other words, the function of the ritual in this case is that it binds and connects people together in some way. Now, from the perspective of the narcissist, they don't see it that way, or at least it's hard for them to. From their perspective, this is just something that is being imposed upon them from the outside. This is people telling me what I can and cannot do. Nobody should be doing that, and because they see everything only in terms of that immediate transactable value to them, it's harder for them to see the value this has to the group more broadly, end quote. I'm still not sure I fully agree with the above, this is the emailer again, but it did give me a different angle to consider. The podcast is called Philosophize This, and the host covers different philosophers and talks about their general ideas, etc. Usually it's a fun thought exercise for me to just dwell on one or two points from the show. He had some recent episodes about a modern-day guy who's still alive and writes about the current society and technology and where we're heading, and I really love them. Episode 188 and 189, Byung Chul Han. Thanks, and I love the show. If you ever get around to reading this, sorry it's longer than a Buck Swope email. So there you go. I don't mind the theory. I like it because it's making me think, and I like to think. I guess what I will do is I understand it. I respect it. I didn't like the last paragraph, whereas if you don't agree, then you're a narcissist. That's what I felt like was kind of being implied, and I just don't think that's necessarily the case. I think people empowering words and or phrases in order to then penalize those who say them is a flaw in the group and the ties that bind us all together, actually. And I could get off on something that's topical right now, but then it could be taken in a way that I don't want to do it. But KMOV news anchor, if you've seen this, stories on the front page of the Post, it's just like, this is clickbait season. Did a story and used the word colored, and I read I don't know the guy, he wasn't there when I was there, but I know the guy didn't just like write the copy and go, yeah, so the colored people. I know right away what happened. It was an accident. But then it became like, oh, now we need everybody commenting and there needs to be a poll. And it's just like, oh, just going to do this whole song and dance over and over again on something that there wasn't, what do you think, like Corey Stark's like, you know what, tonight's the night I'm going to take a stand and I'm going to bring back Colored. I really want to weave it into this voiceover I'm doing. I mean, yeah. It exhausts me that a mistake and all of a sudden that which I think started out with purity, and that is, okay, enough of people fucking people's lives up simply because they're black or whatever ethnicity that it was 100 years ago, you know, Irish, Italian,
right.
Jews now, yeah. Or Jews then, for that matter. Take your Japanese in the 40s, Muslims, whatever it is. Yeah, I understand that. But when there is an accident in the teleprompter, are we really thinking like somebody's trying to tell? I mean, it's so tired. Now, if you disagree, and I think you may disagree, please opine. I don't want this to just be me giving a take, because I think sometimes on this topic you actually disagree with me, but you just sit and nod, and I don't want you to feel like you can't opine.
So I think that there are some words out there, like Carlin's seven dirty words, that is an example of assigning words.
Well, I'm talking to him specifically on the KMOV Coloreds thing.
Oh, well, but I think it's a part of
I'm talking specific, and then I'll get to the broader one.
Okay, I'm unaware of the story, so.
Okay, having done that for a living, you know, and I with anything I ever anchored, I typed out my scripts. There weren't mm-hmm. producers writing it. Maybe producers would give me the shot sheet to ad-lib over highlights, but either way, I'm ad-libbing. But when the video's showing of the highlights, there's a monitor in the desk, and you're looking down on that, and you're ad-libbing.
Right.
It's really sweet. But when you're on camera and you're reading off the teleprompter, I have written everything I'm reading. For a news anchor who has like three different blocks, like three different segments, oftentimes there are producers who write the scripts. And you can just have a, you know, it's brutal, you know, and certainly one would say, well, you got to read your scripts before you go out there. But my God, what do you think's going on in breaking news?
Mm-hmm.
Things are popping up.
Right.
Point being, it's an accident. What tires me is now we're going to have a referendum and we're going to have a clickbait story in which that's what I'm talking about. Now, back to what this gentleman wrote in about, and that is you were talking about Carlin and the seven dirty words. Please, sir, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think like with those words, fuck, shit, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. That is an example of what you were talking about, like people assigning this connotation to those words. Totally agree. I think when you get into stuff, and I want to preface all of this by saying, I'm not saying that you were saying anything different. I'm just going to give my opinion, is like that there are some words out there, derogatory slurs towards people, whatever the case might be, where there is historical context behind how those words were used and weaponized at certain points in history. And to ignore that and just say you're assigning value, I think would be disingenuous to the historical context of certain words.
Well, that's a different conversation than,
right,
as you made reference to, of
right,
course, the words that, like, if totally, I were to say on 101, fuck.
Right.
I don't know if they'd fire me. I don't know. I have no idea.
We would dump out of it, so probably not.
Yeah, I guess
but
you're right.
It would just
on that
be bad practice.
Right. So, I mean, I've been doing this now for however many years. I guess started in 2002, so whatever, 22 years, and then doing television going back to 98. And I don't believe, maybe I have, I don't know, maybe somebody will be like, oh, yeah, don't you remember this? But I don't know. Either way, it's not like a problem. And then somehow when I come in here, I'm able to talk how I freely talk. But when I'm around, really more my wife's parents. I was on the phone with my mom this past like Friday, and I caught myself and going, God, I'm using the word fuck every other word, but that's how we talk.
Mm-hmm.
Not how she talks, mm-hmm, it's how we talk. We don't, it's just not a thing.
Right.
Now, it was a thing growing up. So out of respect to my wife's parents in particular, and my wife's mom even more so, I just, you know, I recognize it and I respect it. Same thing with when you're on whatever we call it, terrestrial radio, whatever the hell it is that we do, you mm-hmm know? So it's the rule, it's easy to do. I personally like, and I'll give you my reasoning, when somebody cusses, not because I'm like, oh yeah, we're getting everybody, this is sweet, we're all gonna go fucking and get drunk, do rails. It's like the person, there's like a trust that we're just talking.
Comfortability.
Yeah. Now, on the other hand, interestingly enough, if it's somebody I've just met, and then within like a couple of minutes, you know, everything's fuck this, fuck that. For whatever reason, I'm like, oh, what the hell? You know, that's a little, it's an odd thing. It's like a gradual thing. Like maybe 10 to 20 minutes into the conversation, somebody finally uses, maybe not even fuck, but they'll ease into it with an ass or a shit or something like that. You see what I'm saying? It's a weird deal. I've noticed this. I noticed it hosting podcasts, and I would always say, I knew I had a great podcast going if somebody who hadn't cussed for like the first 30 minutes cusses and goes, oh, can I say that? Because they at that point have gotten so comfortable, they forgot that they were in a studio. You see what I'm saying?
Talking into a microphone.
Right.
Yeah.
So but where I'm coming from, I recognize what the philosopher is talking about. I suppose what I'm saying is if it can lead to an actual penalty in which one loses their employment for a first-time offense— that is where I would get into. I think empowering words that are about sex or about a bowel movement, and then they're, you know, profane, is bizarre to me. But then words that actually have historical context and hurting people can be accepted. Strikes me as very fucking strange.
Right. Totally. Yeah. And that's kind of where I'm coming from. It. And then like in terms of, you know, the. What you're talking about earlier with the KMOV thing, and I'm speaking much more generally, not hyper focusing on that. However, when all this stuff happens and you know people lose their jobs and stuff like that, my blame more so, and maybe this is misguided, is more so on the corporation if they choose to fire that person, they are choosing capitalism over what they may or may not think is right or wrong.
Jackson, I couldn't agree with you more. It's quite a spot.
Right.
Because what happens is you have groups whose sole purpose are to exist for these moments to either raise funds or generate profit, although I don't really know what they're selling. I think they're there to raise money. So this is their moment. They want these things to happen. They want these things to happen because if they don't happen, they don't exist. You see what I'm saying? I mean, maybe you don't. I'm just fucking going off here. But I mean, this is their time to shine.
Right.
So then what happens? Then when it happens, people will talk about this and post in comments about it. So the first thing we'll do, we'll call whichever special interest group to get there. And of course, they're going to condemn it and the guy who's the spokesperson for it. And this is their moment. Even though in reality, you have a guy who had something that was in the teleprompter that he didn't. Again, unless you're just on the premise, if we're operating on the premise that when this happens, somebody's like, you know what? I'm going to try to weave in a racist or take your pick of whatever sentiment or sexual, like I was accused of making a reference to masturbation in Little Rock, Arkansas during a sports cast because I said jacked up. Now, never mind the fact that jacked up means fired up and the GM had it out for me, but that was her justification to try to take me out. But it truly isn't about what I went through. I see it going on, and then you go to the corporations. Well, what happens? And then these organizations then pressure advertisers to pull their advertising for doing it, and then the corporation has to make the decision, which usually, as you know, what the decision is, we will either suspend, and hopefully that tamps down the fire, or terminate the person who said it because sponsorship dollars are being pulled. So there is a push and pull analysis on, it's not just about principle. There's actually money coming out of the business, and those groups are there to try to take the money out for the purpose of them continuing to get more money. And oh, what a tangled web we weave. But that's what goes on.
Yeah.
It's certainly not coming from an idealistic place.
No.
It's actually fucking gross.
Right. And it gets back to like where I'm at. Like once you have this like kind of ruthless form of like, we have to make money, especially when it comes to corporations, they have shareholder meetings. They can't say, oh, we lost this much money. That's not acceptable. People will lose their jobs again, more so and more so and more so. So you have to continue to make money. If there's a possibility you're going to lose money by continuing to employ this person, whether you think what they did was right or wrong or a mistake, they're not going to lose
that's
money.
It. You just summed it up.
It's eating yourself. It's just, it's constantly, it's just a machine that keeps moving. So it's like, to me, like you can't be super anti-cancel culture and condemn the people who say things on Twitter who are kind of just like nameless faces, and then also champion like this like ruthless form of capitalism that we have going on. They work hand in hand in a certain way.
Well, the those who come to chastise people on Twitter or Instagram when they issue an apology, and please point me to an apology that anybody who's ever issued on social media that was met with, okay,
right,
that's good,
right,
you're good. They're always shit on. They're always shit on. But either way, I realized that somebody goes, hey, you got to do it. That's part of the terms of the settlement. And they're just like, oh, my God, fine, fuck it. I hit tweet or whatever the hell it is, and I'm not looking at it because I know it's going to be brutal. That's the, also part of the fun process, is how shitty, like 50 times shittier the people are in the comments, all while they're trying to be on the side of what they claim to be moral, which then goes back to what we were talking about. The moral compass is phenomenal right now. The lack of morality, in part by those who are in positions to talk about morality to the public, is really an amazing thing that's going on. In particular, I feel like actually at its lowest point in 2024. And as I continue to make the observation, I feel like I'm just looking at the landscape. I'm going, how is shit not going to be crazy over the next 8-9 months? I have no idea how it's not. But in a way, it's almost like how we started the podcast talking about death. I'm like, it's probably so unpleasant to think about, because if you're really paying attention, I don't know how it's not. I have no idea how it's not, or something substantial, whereas Trump or Biden's not on the ticket, how there's not insanity at some point in the next 9 months. I have no idea. I mean, listen, Jesus, I hope that there's not, but I don't know how there is not. And it's like death. I don't think people want to talk about it because they're going, oh, this isn't good. I don't really look forward to it, but holy shit, here we go. We are approaching our 80s as we approach November 2024. Your thoughts are welcome. T. McKernan at InsideSTL.com. It's QFTA, and we are in the Longo Big Studios. We'll wrap this one up and land the plane. Jackson, a 40-minute QFTA. What do you think about that?
I love a 40-minute QFTA. I love a 2-hour 40-minute QFTA. As long as we're locked in, I enjoy it.
God bless America. Thank you for your time as well. And thank you to all of our sponsors for making it possible. For Jackson Burkett, I'm Tim McKernan from the Longo Big Studio. This has been the Tim McKernan Show.